So I think that's kind of exciting. This is the first time, I'm Will, if we didn't meet, I hope we get a chance to. It's the first time you saw my face up here this morning, and yet it goes on, right? Because this is our church. So that's an encouraging thing to everyone who's shared information and led us in worship. We should have a little fun with that. Here's a what-if question for you. What if our Lord Jesus could take care of everything without your help and my help? And what if what we need to do is celebrate and praise him? And so what if that means we're a little silly? Maybe we dance around a little bit. Or maybe we don't. Maybe we stand still because that's how we celebrate, which is fine. But what if we could have a little more fun than we are? Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guess what? It's not just a what if. It's the reality that we have is we have a Lord who takes care of everything. So guys, it's been a good journey going through Romans, and we are up to chapter 10. So grab your Bibles. If you don't have one with you, there should be one in one of the seat pockets in front of you. So you're welcome to use that. It's not a fancy one, but if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to that one if you'd like to kind of get you started on a faith journey. Let me pray before we get into this. Lord, give me your words. Lead us in this time. Guide us into truth. Grow us in our faith, Lord, and in maturity. And I'm approaching this time, Lord, with this truth in mind that we have really no choice but to move forward with you. Because if we want to grow and thrive and really live, it's about maturing and growing in our relationship with you, in our faith with you. So no matter where everyone's coming in here, whether we're on the fence about you, on the fence about church, on the fence about my shirt, you know, whatever that is, whatever they're feeling, Lord, you work this out today. And be glorified, be made big, and be heard. Because we know that our faith comes from hearing, and that is from hearing your spoken word. Not only what's recorded, but what your Holy Spirit reveals to us and teaches us. So bless our time together. I pray this, Jesus, in your name and your power. Amen. Okay, so here we go. We're going to begin with verse 13, chapter 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is where we left off last week. If you've been in church for a decent period of time, that one's probably come up. So that becomes kind of common. But we'll reread that one. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he's heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word. And that means the utterance or things spoken of Christ. Well, let me pause there for a minute. I was going to read through, but I want to pause and point this out to you. Something Paul is telling us. Understand, we got to remember, Paul is writing a letter. He's writing a letter to those people who believe and who follow Christ in Rome. And so he wants to inform them, encourage them, correct them, all the things that we kind of should be doing here, right? And one thing he said is, first of all, that hearing does not ensure believing. Let me say that again. He's saying, understand, not everyone who hears this good news will believe it. Well, why is that so important? Well, because we're going to get to this fact that you and I, our lives should be a story of testimony, a story of who God is, what he's done, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, his power to impact life here on earth now. And so not everyone that we tell will believe and transition into a believing, saving faith in God. So I think the pressure is off you. That's why I think it's so important just to pause and not run that over. For you to share your experiences and talk about who Jesus is to you, the pressure's off you. And some of you guys have seen people share with you under tremendous pressure, right? They've done it in a harmful way because they've put you to standards they couldn't live up to themselves. They've judged you. Maybe they've said one thing and lived another. And we all run into that problem. Paul said this. He also wrote another letter that we call Galatians. And it was to Christians in Galatia. And he wrote it in 3:2. He says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" I'm bringing that up because I want to borrow that phrase. What we're supposed to do is hear by faith. And I think that's one reason if you're wondering, why did we come together? Because I ask myself that question a lot. Do you, Lord, want us to continue to gather together? Because you see the resources that we're consuming, the money we're spending, air conditioning, heating, lighting, there better be a good reason. And the reason isn't just because we've always done that, we should continue to do that. But I can tell you, even though I'm the one speaking, I need this greatly. I need to hear what God is saying so that my faith continues to grow. And I pray that I will hear with faith what God is telling me. And sometimes he's telling me through my study of the Bible, right, which was recording of the words of God. And sometimes he speaks to my heart. And sometimes he speaks to you and you say things that are like, wow, okay, right? Sometimes it's in a song when the worship team and Ross and they're singing something and it's like, wow, it's like the words of Jesus Christ and I'm hearing these with faith, with believing, with assurance that they're true. But we have to pause there just to say, yeah, you know, we first came to faith because we've heard. And if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's because you believed in what you heard. However, please don't misunderstand. Just because you heard does not mean that you believe. And just because you tell somebody else, that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily believe. Okay? So let me go back to Romans 10, pick up in verse 18. "But I ask you, have they not heard?" Remember, Paul was kind of lamenting about, he was a Jew, and he was lamenting about the fact that his own people, his family, friends, the people that he loved dearly, a lot of them were so stuck in their religion that they wouldn't believe in Christ, and he was agonizing over their salvation, right? So, "But I ask you, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." He's going to start quoting Old Testament scripture that as a Jew he would have memorized. Verse 19, "But I ask you, did Israel not understand?" So if they heard, did they not understand? First Moses says, "I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry." Then Isaiah is so boldly as to say, "I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me." But of Israel, he says, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." To be honest with you, this is just not the way I talk. Like, so when he says this, it's easy to get lost. But let me give you the Will translation of what he's saying. He's like, understand, this is what Paul is saying. Geez, what's up with Israel? Brandon, what is it? Did they never hear? Yeah, they heard. They've heard. Because so many of the Jews have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, well, Jim, maybe if they heard, the problem is they didn't understand. Like they use big church words, right, that no one made sense. And it's like, yeah, they heard. But understand, here's what God is up to. He's going to take a people who aren't a nation and use them to make Israel, who is a nation, jealous. And he's going to hold up people who seem to be foolish, right? Guess who he's talking about? Us. 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 I have a cousin, her and her husband, they live in Tokyo right now. And they're like reading from the same Bible as us. You know, Randy and Sandy, they've gone to like all over the world, even Canada, okay, and talked about God, okay, the way, way far out there. So all across the world, even though we're not the same nation, if you will, we are the same family of God adopted, right? And through the saving faith and goodness and grace of God. And so he's saying, understand, this is what God is up to. He's going to take a people, us, right? And we all, you look at us and you can start guessing, where did our families originate from? But we've been this mix-mash, like, you know, of cultures and nations coming into one place. And then even with our own nation, it's not America they're talking about, it's the people, us, brothers and sisters in Canada, and Korea, and Japan, and Germany, all of us, a family, a nation, a kingdom, a people of God. And in the end, he's going to use that to call out to the chosen people of God, right? The Israelites. But we get the same path to salvation they do. And the door of that is Jesus. Let's take a step back. So we read all that. That's kind of confusing. So let me start there. Okay. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Well, he borrowed this phrase. And I don't know how well you can see. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Well, I think it's important that I tell you this. In our culture, maybe we don't get that. Because, you know, we've got manicures and, like, sweet shoes and foot spas and all this kind of stuff. But at the time this would be written, you could imagine, like, just start wearing sandals for a few months and see what happens to your feet, okay? Now, imagine in their culture, like, a bare foot of a person who's walking in dirt and filth and all that stuff, and there's not, it's not as hygienic. I mean, those feet are not beautiful of the people at this time. You can bet Paul's feet were not pretty, right? And you see that, you read what other people say about this, like, do you understand the blood and the calluses and the cuts and the dirt and the filth of a person's feet? And it's this contrasting state. How beautiful, right? Beautiful. It's like shining, you just see their feet glowing, right? But what he's saying is, and even all of the filth and the mess and the hurt, how beautiful is the one who will come tell you about this good news. So how should you and I respond? I'm thinking of two responses. Who wants to read my mind? What do you think one way to respond to that is? One way to respond to that statement, or even an implication of the statement. What would be one thing you would think? What's that? Spread some good news. So you're making it, you're personally applying it. How blessed your feet would be everywhere that you go to share this good news. Yeah. Anyone else see that? Yeah. Do you think it'll always be easy? It's going to be dirty and hurt a little bit. That's a very honest statement. Yep, it's a long game. Yeah, yeah. Now, okay, if I'm sitting here, I'm waiting for some sort of evangelism plan, right, from Pastor Will about knocking a bunch of people's doors and they start yelling at you because they think you're a door-to-door salesman. That's not what I'm saying. I believe, frankly, that there's 1,000 different ways to share, but it's going to happen in your life and where you go. So that was a great implication. So personally, like, if that's true, there's a call to me to be the one who's sharing this good news, bringing peace and joy and love and that our God reigns, right? We're bringing that to the world. And it's a little on our head because we've been taught over time, and we're just as guilty as any other organized religion, that you got, you know, high up religious people that know how to share faith. And the rest of us are clueless, and all we can do is somehow trick these people into going to some building somewhere where some really holy guy can tell them about Jesus and about good news. And that's just not working. Because look at the guy you have to bring it to. I mean, who are they going to take? They're going to take me serious, you know. The truth is every one of you and everywhere that you go. I mean, I assure you this. Here, like, in ministry for the better part of the last 10 years, okay? More ministry happens by you who don't do this professionally than by me. And it's in the nooks and the crannies where it's struggle, where it's bleeding, where it's crying, where people get divorced and people die and babies are born and people get married, and right? The mess of life, the filth on your feet, is where you share this good news. And if we keep putting it on the holy man to do it for you, the holy man will just fail and fail you. Okay, what another thought based on this? How beautiful are those feet? Another implication or thought based on that. I don't want to manipulate you into thinking the same thing that I'm thinking. So tell me what, help me know where you're at. Yeah. How beautiful are the scars of the feet and the journey? Yeah. Right? It's a painful journey. The sandals are not always comfortable. There's scars. There's hurt. There's pain in those who, and how beautiful that is. People notice scars. Right? They have a story, right? Every scar, every gray hair on your head is a story. Or lack of hair on your head can be a story too. Now, so I'll give you the answer, okay? I know, we're tired. This is my answer, and it goes along with what you're saying. I think you need to look around, and those people who've stepped out and have been called to share this good news with you, you should just be very thankful for. And that sounds weird, the pastor saying, being very thankful for me. I'm not just saying that, but you know, look at George in the back. He's dedicated his whole life to sharing the gospel, man. How blessed we are. You know, Steve and Marianne, when I was a kid, a teenager, they ministered to me. And here I am becoming older and wiser, right? Yeah. These four here have been praying for me. I mean, they are bringing good news. How blessed is their feet? The adult Sunday school, right? The women's Bible study, the men's Bible studies. Josh bringing his feet up here, trying to be part of this. Ross, worship team, practicing, praying. Randy, Sandy, they left their country, their home. It's hurt. Thank you, all of you. How beautiful it is. Every bit of pain, every bit of joy, every bit of pleasure that you brought. The good news. And if we start thinking like that, then it's allowed to be hard, right? But even when it's hard, you praise God. And when you praise God when it's hard, that gets people's attention. People notice scars. Everyone notices the guy with no arms and no legs that talks about Jesus, right? You don't forget that, like, right? You just know he has a good reason to that, right? And that's half Christians you talk to. I don't have a real testimony because I didn't do crack. And I, you know what I mean? Like, okay. Yeah, I know that gets attention, but you still have a great testimony, but we're not real about that pain. So, I mean, I could go on about that, but consider that everywhere that you go. And even if you leave here today, and that will's crazy, we're never going back to that church. The next church you go to, the guy up there, his kids, his wife, the guy leading the music, the person that greeted you at the door, the person on the soundboard, all of these things, what they've gone through so that you can hear the good news of who Jesus is. It's a beautiful thing, and we invite you to get dirty with us, right? Okay, so now let me move on. So here's what I want to do with this time. I feel like led to go with this. So that makes this point. So faith comes from, that perks my ears. I want more faith. Wait a second, Will. Didn't the scripture say all you need is a little faith? Yes, it's true. Because Jesus, all we need is a little faith. Help me, even though I'm struggling to believe, God. All it takes is the faith of a mustard seed to grow into something that's great. But you know what I want? I want more and more faith demonstrated by joy, by love, by obedience. More and more faith in Jesus as I walk through this earth. And you should want that too. So a couple questions for you. Ask yourself this. Do I have faith? Faith in what? I mean, do I have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? So if you're someone who takes notes or journals, this would be a great question to write down, really pray about, and take a journey with that. Here's another thing I'd just like to ask you. Okay, if that's true, if I have faith, do I want my faith to grow? You know, if I'm looking at it, do I have faith? Yeah. I think I'm making some choices in my life that's showing that I have faith. I'm going to places God has asked me to. I'm trusting him with things that I would prefer to control myself because it feels safer, right? But this is not the Christian walk. Do I want my faith to grow? Sure. I really, really do. But not every day I'm thinking that way, Randy, if I'm being honest. Some days I'd rather it be easier than to be growing. And maybe you kind of resemble that remark too. Maybe you relate. I'm convinced of this. You know, like even when I pray, God, we need to move forward. My only hope is to grow in Christ. That is my hope. Yeah, he can save me from eternal judgment, but he's also saving me day after day, moment after moment. My only hope to really be alive and really be alive for him and to really have good news is that we move forward. And that's why Jesus spoke so strongly against being lukewarm. Because that's what we've become, is I got Jesus, but I'm very unhappy and very bitter. So let me tell you about the good news of Jesus. And how does that go? So wait, well, you're telling me I can be really unhappy, you know, have a divorce rate equal to those not married, kids and parents not getting along, you know, awful marriages, but I can spend my Sundays at church where I give them money and I serve in the nursery? Sign me up. This is a great idea, right? No, that's not what this is about. And it's not, look what God did for me. I have more money and more happiness. No, it is, God is good on this good thing and on this bad thing and all these things God is in control. But let me tell you the story of my life. But a lukewarm person doesn't have a great story. How's it going? Meh. The meh life, right? And I catch myself falling into meh at times. And the only way is that the Lord would pull us through meh into joy. Joy even when the tears are coming down. And that will get someone's attention. And then I like this. Let me invite you on this journey, okay? What he does is he unpacks this. I mean, I visualize that. It's confusing when Paul wrote it out because he's kind of working backwards. I mean, you think of this as a pile. He wants to tell you this is how your faith comes, and here's how you're saved and being saved. But he starts at the top, and he pulls the first thing off, and he goes, okay, but if this, then this. But then if this, then it's got to be this. And then it gets down to the bottom, right? So this is what we're going to do together. So we're kind of working a little backwards here. Verse 15 said this, and how are they to preach unless they're sent? Okay. No surprise. If this thing, this fellowship that we have, is going to make impact, it's flat out on you. It's on you. It's on every one of you. Right? I mean, it's on me too, as a member of this. But it's on you. If you're never sent to preach, to talk with people, to share, if you're never sent, how are you going to share? Christian life is this. Do you want to be a person of great faith? Then you need to know this. You are all sent. Like called out of your seat to go, well, what do you need to tell them? Only what you know. About your life, what God has shown you. Well, what about like all these spiritual laws and Did God tell you about that and you have a strong conviction about it? Well, no, don't. Like, what? Talk about your life, your testimony. That's not a religious word. It's literally, this is what happened. Like, but you guys need to know, like, that's, I think, what we're missing. And don't get this as disrespect for the way that we're doing church. Jesus loves the church. I never see in the scripture where he's like, done with the church. I'm going to come and gather everyone from their living rooms, drinking coffee. Right? Right? This is not what he comes for his people, no matter where we're at in fellowship. But I think I need to say, if I'm following the path which is the Lord is laying out through this letter, how are you going to tell anyone anything if you're not sent? So as your pastor, I got to tell you, go and tell them. Here's the other thing. If you tell them, I don't care if you ever bring them here. Maybe that's a wrong way to say it, okay? But if you share your life, if you share God's love with other people, the measurement of success isn't like, well, how many visitors? We used to have those cards, right? How many visitors did you bring to church? Like, that's not what I'm looking for. I mean, that is great. If they want to come here, I would love for them to come here and celebrate with us, right? However, all I'm saying is share with them in such a way that this happens, that they hear from you about God. They hear from God, and they grow in their faith. So share what you got. Okay, that's the first one. And now it's saying, well, and how are they to hear unless someone's preaching, right? So how can they hear? And the word hear, we want to get tricky. We want to look at the Greek and the Hebrew and try to make it, wash it away so it's not as impactful. But really, literally, it is like audibly hear. How are they supposed to hear about God and how good he is if no one tells them? Right? That reiterates this point. We better tell them. We better tell our kids and our spouses, remind one another. And that's why you guys come here. That's why we do this. This is not a scripture you couldn't have read on your own, but hopefully God's telling me something. And in the fellowship of other people, he's telling them stuff. And in this, we're going to grow in our faith because we're hearing, because people are sharing. How are they to hear without someone preaching? And then it goes another level, right? How are they to believe in him who they've never heard? So if they haven't heard about Jesus, how are they ever going to believe in him? Jesus who? I've heard about God and makes the universe, but Jesus, who is Jesus? There's another level. And verse 14 said, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? Interesting. How will they call? And that's how will they call if they don't believe? How would you know? How would you really ask Jesus for help if you didn't believe? Do you have like a guideline that this is what I can ask Jesus for and this is not what I can ask Jesus for? Does that have to get like a certain threshold? You know, between 1 and 10, it's got to be like 8.5, Will, before like I'm asking Jesus, right? And then there's this danger of an incorrect interpretation of this, where Jesus is this like genie, right? Like, Jesus, heal my cancer. Okay, good, thanks. Good talking to you. Next, when it comes back, I'll pray again. That's not it. It is your calling because you believe. You're believing because you heard. You heard because someone told you. And that's why it builds on one another. How then will they call on him who they've not believed? Well, here's an interesting question for you. So chew on this a little bit, right? So based on this logic that we should believe in him, which is Jesus, before we call on Jesus. And I can see by your faces that's not as profound, but that's just because I've been sitting in this for a while. But consider this. Like, if our faith is such where you have this magic moment, right? This magic moment, because we know this. We know that in Ephesians 2:8, that what saves us, right, is our faith, but it's by God's grace that we're saved through faith, not of what you and I are doing, right? So this is what Paul is hammering home. It's God's power. It's his goodness. That's why I jokingly say, why can't we just have fun when he's doing it, right? Why can't following him be a good time? Why can't we laugh a little bit, enjoy a little bit, wake up a little bit, live a little bit for him and in him? Because it's by God's grace, through him, only by our faith, that we can be saved. Okay, so that being true, there is a way that we believe in which I'm calling on Jesus once. And my call to him is, Jesus, save me from hell. Right? Save me from hell. Get me into heaven. And then it's like quiet. Then it's like some ancient Roman god or Greek god who's up in the sky throwing lightning bolts at you when you do something wrong, throwing blessings at you when you do something right. What he's saying here is this idea of calling on him comes after you've already believed on him. In verse 13, he goes on to say, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the word saved here, guys, it's not a one-time thing. This is what Paul is trying to show us. He's saying the word saved is to save. So that's a good translation. To protect, to deliver, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole. So everyone who calls out in faith and because they believe to Jesus will be saved. Yeah, justified. Saved from eternal darkness, absent from God, right? But more than that, preserved, protected, healed, made whole. That's a good offer. If we just stop a second with all the religiousness that we can get caught into, isn't that great? That the Lord wants to save us. That's the promise, is everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul said this too. I like this picture. I found this. I want to share it with you. From 1 Corinthians, another church he wrote a letter to. And this one, kind of at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 2, he said, to the church of God that is in Corinth. This is kind of a definition of what he sees a believer to be. According to Paul, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place, right, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. In every place. Do you catch that? I underlined it. To all the people in Prescott Valley who believe in the Lord, and because of that, they've been made clean. They've been set aside. They've been saved and are continually being saved by Jesus. To all of those saints, and here's how you're going to know who they are. They're in every place and in every need calling out to our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's this mentality, right? Like, where can we draw lines? We want to draw lines. Can you tell me at what point in time it is I'm being saved? Was it when I was 8 and I was baptized, or when I was 13 and I understood it a little more, or when you're 30 and the world is not doing what it promised it would, and then you really push into Jesus? Like, but that's not even the answer that you need to know. You're working out, each one of you, your faith and your salvation, right? With trembling, right? With humility, you're working that out. But here's what you want your life to look like. To Tim, my brother in Prescott Valley, who's been sanctified by Jesus, and how I know that he has been is because in every place and everything he's doing, he's always calling out to the Lord. What Lord, save me, guide me, help me. To Corey, one of the saints from Prescott Valley who's been called out by God, who's been sanctified, like he's been changed, transformed, cleansed, purified, made new, made whole. And I know it because in every place and all the things that he's doing, he's calling on the name of the Lord. Well, Will, I'm not really doing that. I'm not either. I'm not either. Let me offer this for clarity, because we're using words we don't normally use. So if we're calling on Jesus, not just Jesus, help me, genie Jesus, but Jesus, help me, Lord. There's a difference here. Jesus, help me, change my circumstance, Jesus. And then you wait. He changes your circumstance. Whew, near miss, Jesus, cool. See you later, right? That's not what they're calling. Calling on Jesus as your Lord is a whole different thing. Sometimes when you go to Jesus with pain, with suffering, the answer is not like, change my circumstances, Jesus. Sometimes the answer is, my Lord, change me. And so the thing about a Lord that we don't get is the word Lord here, yeah, is it referring to his deity? Sure. But by definition, if you look at the word they're using, it really means this, supreme authority. It means he to whom a person or thing belongs is the Lord. So you're really saying, help me, God, I'm yours. Everything about my life is yours, and I want to do what it is you're asking me to do. So get that. Take your circumstance, okay? Hold that up to the Lord. Here's my circumstance. My prayer, and I think we should practically try this. I think we should. I think all of you, I know I have these concerns. I think we should go before the Lord and say, you promise if I call on you as my Lord, right, that you will come to heal, protect, preserve, save me. Sometimes it's preserve, and sometimes preserving can hurt. But we take that thing and we say, Lord Jesus. And when we say that, you're saying, Jesus, you are the supreme authority. Not only over my life, but over everyone else and everything else. See, I don't know that he would do this, but I really believe Jesus can affect anything he wants on this earth, down to the red light, green light change. Right? Now, if you ask him to turn it green and he doesn't, does that mean he's not listening? No, I'm not saying test that. But I'm telling you, there's been times I think he has done something about that. And other times, I feel like it's gone the opposite way and they're all red when you're really in a hurry, right? And he's not the God of red and green lights, but he is the supreme authority, the master, the one to whom I belong. So if I go to him and I begin to say, and if I just do it a little bit differently, right? Because I don't always do this. Usually it's like, help me change my circumstance. And then you wait. But instead we say, Jesus, my supreme authority. That sounds weird, right? Like we've talked about before, we don't even respect our leaders, so this is hard for us. We make fun of our leaders. Right? Jesus, my supreme authority, I belong to you. Here is my circumstance. Please save me. Try that. If we confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord, to confess, to agree, to say the same thing. Confessing Jesus is Lord is not just saying he's God, but confessing Jesus is Lord is to say he is my God. So there's the end of chapter 10. What do we do with this, Lord? What do we need is my prayer. What does our group need, our hearts? What do we need to hear from what God asked and told Paul to write down to these early believers? And you might have got something different out of this, but here is what I would offer you. I think you should do something with this before next Sunday. I know it's weird. It's really weird. But I think you should take something that's on your heart, like anything, a relationship, a health, finances, frustration. And I think you should bring it before the Lord, and I think you should approach him as Lord to begin to say, Jesus, you are the one to whom I belong. And I believe that you can save me, not just from hell. I know that. I'm not trying to minimize that. You get that? I'm not trying to minimize that. But that can save me day after day by preserving, protecting, delivering, healing, making whole. Because until we become healed and made whole, we aren't beacons of good news to anybody. And so if we would just come before the Lord, and let's just do that together now, but I would suggest that you go home and do this as well. So Lord, I believe what is in the Bible was divinely inspired by you. That you told Paul what to write, and I have faith, I'm trusting and assured that all the people that translated this were under your guidance too. And I'm trusting, and I'm having assurance that about this scripture, you're speaking to our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we know what you're trying to say to us today in our lives, in our community. And we want to believe in you. I know that believing is the whole thing. And our faith comes from believing. And believing comes from the spoken word about you, Jesus. Not only your word, but what other people are sharing with us. Your scriptures, your moments in prayer, the songs of prayer, quiet times, the wilderness, loving our kids, loving our spouse, all those holy moments that we're part of, where you speak to us, where you nurture us, that grows our faith. And so, Jesus, forgive us for making this place anything but that. A place where we can be here and be present together so that you can speak to us. And so I ask now, as we're singing, we're reflecting, that you would speak to those. And those people who trust you and know you and love you. And that you would call out in such a loud voice they couldn't argue it with the people who are doubting, who are struggling to believe. That you would call out to them, let them know you're true and you're good and you are who you say you are. And from that, Lord, how will others believe and thereby grow in faith unless someone tells them? Help us as we go out from this place to be witnesses of you and what you do in life and in the hearts of people who trust you. So, Lord, I think we need to practice this. I don't know what it is to have a Lord. I really don't. I'm a spoiled, entitled American boy. Makes fun of my leaders and doesn't respect them like I should. And I want to learn a new and different and set apart way. And so Jesus, I just invite all the people here with me to do the same thing. We come to you and we bring you this circumstance of concern. Lord, this is really heavy on my heart, this. You're the supreme authority. You're the Lord. You're the master. You're the one to whom I belong. And I believe what Paul said, that if you are my master, my Lord, and I am moving towards you, that you're going to take care of everything and work it out for my good. And so, Lord, I bring this to you. And I bring you the anxiety, the clenched teeth, the sick stomach, the tight shoulders about this. And I give it to you, Master, the one to whom I belong. And I ask you in this to speak, to show, to reveal. Maybe you'll change the circumstance. Maybe you're going to change me. But I pray, Lord, that you would just fill me with you, with your presence, with your spirit, so that either answer I'll be prepared for, that I'll hear, I'll know that you are God, and I'll know that you're good. Lord. Thank you, Jesus.